It comes down to priorities. If you think this community is important, you do what is necessary. It is as simple as that. That doesn't mean that the choices come easy. We are constantly pushed, pulled, ambushed, controlled, flattered, enticed, notice the price, so that we spend. Publicity in our time becomes as omnipresent as God. Yesterday I got in the tram and the publicity was on the floor right in front of the entranceway. I guess everybody looks down when they get on the tram. We are constantly sucked into the ravages of consuming. Buy, buy, buy. It never lets up. But rarely are we asked to prioritize. And church may be one of the few places left where we are asked to prioritize not just about what we gain, but about how we serve, how we give. Because we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, we cannot push the question of priorities aside. When we worship, it is Christ who is shaping us. His word guides. His love heals. His spirit breathes in us, so we support each other as we struggle in following. The old word was discipleship. In Jesus Christ, we encounter an accepting love beyond our imagination. And at the same time, in Jesus Christ, we are confronted with an expecting love, demanding more than we ever deemed possible. In the gospel this morning, Jesus forecasts the horrors to come, the destruction of the temple, wars, famine. The words he uses surprises the disciples. All will be thrown down, he says. That feels eerily familiar. Wars in our time are no longer rumors. A communal hysteria for retribution seems to have gained power. Violence and anger often proclaim they are the solution. In the recitation of all the terror to come, Jesus has a side remark. Do not be alarmed. Oh, really? Well, actually, many of us are alarmed. But even the alarm pushes the question of what matters. In an uncertain world, it is even more important to have a Christian home. In a world of scamming hatred of, pardon me, in a world of scamming also, in a world screaming hatred and revenge, we gather here, our Christian home, in the name of Jesus Christ, whose very being is love, and whose love extends even to those lost in the buzz of being able to hit back. In a world where lying and manipulation prevail, here in this church home, we try to be truthful with one another and respect one another, learning from one another. In a world where brute force proclaims it will fix things, In this home, we try to honor humility and patience, to respect sincere compassion, to ask for and receive forgiveness. If the endless quest for wealth and status dominates social media, in this Christian home, we are intentional about being with one another, supporting each other, holding up each other, praying for each other, singing with each other, all the time knowing we do not measure up. And at the same time, knowing that the measure of the love of Christ is greater than all our failures. So this morning, I turn to St. Paul for guidance about how this Christian home might work. He is pragmatic in his letter to the Corinthians. He proposes a principle, fair balance. Or another translation would be equality, which is summarized with a quote, "The one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little." It actually comes from the Exodus text we read. When gathering the manna, everyone was supposed to harvest an omer, which is an ancient measure. We don't know quite what it means now, but anyhow, a volume. And the hustlers with frisky fingers probably rushed forth, leaving behind the weaker. But when the results were measured, everyone had the same amount. No one had too much. No one had too little. In Exodus, it is almost as if God were playing a gag on the enterprising. Go for it, guys. But in the end, it will be the same. Strict equality would be imposed. And Paul turns that phrase into a principle for the Christian community. He would probably be labeled a communist in our time. From all according to their abundance and to all according to their need. It's not so far from Paul. And honestly, we don't manage it very well. We end in endless confrontations about what is fair, what is balanced, what is real equality. Is it just equality of chance or opportunity? And at the same time, fears of abuse rush in. Do I give up my vacation so somebody else can take theirs? Balance, fairness, equality. Those words get lost in a world where the rich get even richer in the mad race to get ahead. But this morning I put before our community this question about how Paul's vision might be reclaimed. Might it be possible to think even for a moment outside of bye, 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 to ask about balance, fairness, equality? Might we consider reviving the old WCC formulation that as Christians, we live simply so others might simply live? In these days, I think it is not enough for the church to be a slightly more gentle, slightly more spiritual echo of the society around us. Now we need to be the body of Christ. And in Christ, our priorities get called into question and probably turned around. How we use our money gets questioned. How we spend our time is questioned. It becomes a priority not for us to buy and spend, but to give. It becomes a priority for us to be with each other week upon week, to encourage one another to turn to love and to let the love of God free us from alarm. Our times are marked by the desire for entertainment and escape. In competition with doom scrolling, I have already lost your attention unless I've produced a video of cute cats. But in this Christian home, here is where the living becomes not viral, but vital. If this is home, on Sunday morning, this is where we want to be. If this is home, our presence, our money, our energy get poured out here. Because Jesus is at the center of this home, we will not be surprised by difficulties, failures, crosses. But God's love is not killed by the cross of Jesus, but rather expressed through it. So we can also see ahead the serving, sharing, embracing, that is life rising up, life catching us in its wonder, life assuring us that we matter, and that we matter not just for now, but in the eternal love of God. God has made for each of us God's priority. So today, at the end of the service, I think you'll be invited to pick up envelopes. I was looking for them. Yes, they're there. Where you can make your commitments to this community for the next year. This is not everybody's tradition, that's for sure. But I propose it to you, even if it is not your tradition, because it's a tool for prioritizing. A spiritual gift for you to reconsider what is important to you. What place does this community have in your schedule? What place does this community have in your budget? What gifts might you offer that support this as home away from home for you? The title Home Away from Home no longer applies to me. This is my home. You are my community. But it takes more than me and Andy and Katrina and the choir and the live streamers and the coffee hour cooks. It takes all of you. Giving this community priority. Christ Jesus needs your arms to welcome strangers into his living room. Christ Jesus needs your money so his love is manifest in a world criminally obsessed with power and greed. Christ Jesus needs this home to practice mercy, to bind up wounds. It is not a small thing for a community to thrive these days. It is not a small thing that it grow, inviting the hurt and lonely in. For us to do this well, it needs not only your priority, it needs your commitment. Home becomes home when we are together, even if we struggle with fair balance and equality. This becomes home with our contributions as we are able to the warmth and the energy we feel here. This becomes home when together we embrace the hurt and dance the good news. Home becomes home when we sing, "Take my gifts and let me love you," and not worry all the time about what we're giving up instead. Home becomes home when we sing, "Take whatever I can offer," and feel the Spirit of Jesus welling up in us with love to give away. Amen. We stand for the Lord.